So Monday's my day off. So my day off usually consists of going over to New Providence and stuffing myself with bacon and eggs and half a dozen pancakes and then coming back to the house and going into a food coma. And then it's a couple hours of laying on the couch watching the news before I get up really do anything, which in all that seems to work out usually pretty well until somebody moves my cheese. If you've ever read that book, Who Moved My Cheese? My kids, like when I use a remote and I get done with it, I put it back where it's always easy to find, right? My kids walk out to the driveway, then throw it back in the door just to see what happens and all. So I got back Monday from New Providence and looking for the remote so I can watch my news, and I can't find the remote. And you can't live without a remote anymore and all. So I tear the house up. I spent an hour tearing the house up looking for this remote. And I finally find it sitting on the kitchen counter. If you've ever been in the parsonage, you know there's no reason for the remote to be on the kitchen counter. You can't change the channel from the kitchen counter or nothing. Anyway, a lot of people have problems with their keys. They never know where they left their keys the last time or their cell phone or something like that. Everybody's had that kind of experience, right, where you have to find this one thing that's going to make your life work for that 10-minute period or whatever. And then when you find it, what does it do? I found the remote, and I turned the TV on, and the cable was out. So there you go. But we've always had that kind of experience. You lose something valuable, and you go on this desperate search to find it. And in some ways, that's not really a bad definition of life. Life is a search for something of value, a search for meaning. You can go ahead and turn if you want to, and in your Bibles, Ecclesiastes. We're going to talk about chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. It's all in the bulletin too. Solomon is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's going to talk to us about this search that he goes on to find meaning and to find what is truly valuable in life. His search takes him down a whole bunch of different paths. Solomon had a lot of free time on his hands. And access to pretty much anything you could imagine. And those same paths that he went down, people still go down in the day. And he lets us in on the fact that each of these paths eventually dead ends. He doesn't find what he's looking for. I think that's a U2 song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. He acquires a lot. He's extremely successful. But he writes to us as someone who has seen it all, heard it all, enjoyed every kind of entertainment and pleasure there is made available to him, but he says, this isn't it. And you need to keep searching. And that can be hard for us, this continual search, because many of us have had our lives shaped and had the direction of our lives determined by what our culture says is important. And Solomon takes each of those paths to its end, and he says, this isn't it. And that's hard if you've committed your life to something and now someone's going to tell you you're not going to find happiness there. If you're the husband who's working 60 hours a week just to get ahead, or the wife who's trying to build her home, you're the person who goes out on the weekend and parties and drinks and does all that stuff and wakes up on Saturday morning or Sunday morning and you realize this isn't it. Solomon basically says, I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt, a robe, and there's nothing to see. In chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, he describes what life feels like when you haven't found what you're searching for. So starting in chapter 1, verse 2, he makes the first point. He says, life feels meaningless. He says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. That's how he refers to himself as the teacher. He says, utterly meaningless. So journal entry number 1 is not full of hope and optimism. And he just says, here's the conclusion. I've seen it all, I've done it all, and I've heard it all, and the one word that describes all of it is meaningless. I pulled up behind a car this, this week, and there was a bumper sticker on the back of the car, and it was just one word, and it said, whatever. Kids growing up today are considered the whatever generation. And that's not a bad paraphrase for meaningless. Whatever. Tell somebody to do something or tell somebody how something is, and it's meh, whatever. And you have to ask yourself, how much has really changed between Solomon's time and ours? And Solomon is 950 years before Christ. Solomon says, life feels meaningless when you haven't found what you're searching for. Second, he says, life feels tiring. Verses 3 through 8 of chapter 1, he says, what does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can even say. His conclusion is that when you're not living for the right thing, life just feels exhausting and tiring. And some of you understand that. You work and you work and you work, but where does it really get you? And you just don't feel motivated to work anymore, and you're tired. Solomon uses these cycles in nature to describe what's true in our lives. He talks about the rotation of the earth. He talks about the weather patterns as examples of how we feel, and oftentimes feel that we're just kind of on this cycle, just running around and around on this treadmill of life. No, we're going as fast as we can. There's plenty of sweat, and we're doing a lot, but we're not really going. It's like the gerbil on the wheel in his cage. He spins that thing all day, and all he's doing is spinning a wheel. I read an article in Men's Health magazine. It talked about long-distance runners can run farther outside than they can on a treadmill. Okay, but and it's not a physical thing. It's a psychological thing. Because outside, you feel like you're actually going somewhere. And on a treadmill, you're just staring at the TV. If you've been to a gym lately, you're staring at a TV. And life just feels like you're going nowhere. Solomon points out life feels really tiring when you're working hard, and then you get off and you don't really have much to show for it. Business Week did a survey in the workplace to find out the number one answer to this question. The question was, how do you feel? And the number one answer was, I'm tired. I think if it's true in the workplace, it's probably true at home as well. And it's probably true sitting in church too, because there's a lot of eyes get droopy about 3 minutes from now. When you're really going hard and fast, but you're really not sure why you're doing it or where it's really taking you, it doesn't take long for you to just start feeling exhausted. And that's why, 40 years ago, when I was growing up, we didn't have energy drinks. Energy drinks were coffee. If you need more energy, you drink more coffee. We didn't have all these energy drinks. Now, you have 5-hour energy drinks, 12-hour energy drinks, and, But we live in a generation of people who are exhausted. Solomon says that's a symptom of not living for the right thing. The third thing he says in that passage is that life feels unsatisfying. It's unsatisfying when you don't know what you're living for. The Living Bible, for all you heretics that have a Living Bible, paraphrases verses 8 and 9 this way. It says, no matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. Solomon wrote these words before the internet, before iPods, before satellite TV. I mean, think about it. What happens at night when you go home? You're flipping through the channels because you finally found your remote, or you don't have kids that move your remote, and you got hundreds of channels. And you flip through the channels for a couple hours, and You decide, well, there's nothing on. So what do? You pull out a computer and you surf the internet. And then you realize you've killed these 4 hours or whatever and you've done nothing. And you're sitting there going, what did I just do? What did I accomplish? And Solomon says, life just feels unsatisfying when you're pursuing the wrong thing. The next thing he says is, and this is number four, life feels pointless. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Solomon points out that though we are determined to leave our mark on the world, though we want to be people who make a difference and have an impact on the people around us and are remembered for generations, the truth is, most likely we won't be. Just do an experiment here. And this is church, so you have to tell the truth. How many of you know all the names of all of your great-grandparents? Raise your hand. That's better than I expected. Well, there's some people that are just show-offs. So, I mean, I know a couple of names of my great-grandparents, but not all of them. I can't remember all of their names. And it's just a couple generations removed. They were my great-grandparents, and I don't even know their names. And Solomon says, you know what? That's the way life is. We think we're going to leave a mark. We think we'll always be remembered. But a few generations from now, your great-grandkids will have no clue who you were. So if you're taking notes, here's what we've learned so far. Life is meaningless. It's unsatisfying. It's tiring. And it's pointless. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Doesn't it feel good to be here? This doesn't seem like the kind of book you really want to read. And you definitely don't want to study it. Ecclesiastes just starts out so pessimistically. But what's Solomon really doing here? He's trying to help us understand that there is a need for something more in our lives. Because a search first begins by realizing that something is missing. You're not going to search for something until you know that it's really missing from your life. For a lot of people, they've come to accept this type of life as normal. They come to accept this pointless feeling in their existence, this unsatisfying, tiring, meaningless, whatever feeling that they go through life with. And Solomon says, no, that's not normal. That's not how you were created to live. And if you're feeling this way, it's because there's something missing in your life. Now, you may not know it's missing because you've never had it or heard of it, but I'm telling you, there's something missing. And you won't start searching for something unless you're convinced that it's missing from your life. I used to be one of those people who hated rhubarb. I mean, rhubarb, really? People eat that stuff? And then my mother-in-law makes this strawberry rhubarb. And, you know, I try to be nice when I first meet my future in-laws. And so, yeah, I'll take a big portion of that. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is not going to work out well. And then I tried it, and I was like, wow, where has this been all my life? And now I like, every time I go back home, I want strawberry rhubarb. Everybody should have strawberry rhubarb. It was always there, but until I tasted it, I didn't realize it had meaning in my life. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And there are a lot of people who kind of see the church, they see Christians, and they think, well, I mean, that's fine. That's good for them. But that's just not me. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. But the thing is, they've never tasted it. They don't understand it. They don't know what's missing. So we start to accept the satisfaction that the world offers us as truth. And it's really just this cheap imitation of what we were really meant to find in God. Because He is who we were created for. Solomon creates this appetite for something more. And he says, listen, if you're feeling unsatisfied in life and you're kind of wondering what's the point of it all, if you just in general feel tired, maybe it's because you're not living for the right thing. A search begins by realizing that something's missing. To return to the whole search for the remote thing, it's sometimes that in some of those searches, at some point in your search, you're going to hit a point where you think you've done everything you can and it's useless to continue. And you reach a point where this whole thing is useless. And maybe you're at that point. The sun has set and you're thinking, I'm never going to find it. And even if you can identify what this thirst, this thing that I'm wanting, even if you can identify what it is, I've tried everything, and while I might quench my thirst for a moment, it always comes back. I'm always looking for something new. Maybe you think it's time to just start accepting that this is the way life is, and I'm just going to be empty or disappointed. The scriptures say that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. In other words, God has made us so that we have this inner desire that cannot ultimately be satisfied by anything in this world. We try and satisfy this thirst with relationships, but eventually we end up disappointed because our relationships are with people who are searching for something as well. We try to quench it with money and material possessions, but it always takes a little bit more. I was asked by my wife recently, how many guns do you need? What's the answer? One more. Just one more. The list goes on and on of things that we initially get excited about, but then discover, it's just rusted metal. And that's the next step. We realize something is missing at some point, and then we begin this desperate search in life to find what we're looking for. And that's really what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. It is Solomon journaling his different experiences, his searches, to find the missing piece in his life. And here's what's interesting. As you read through Ecclesiastes, you'll find that what he looks for and where he searches, they're the same things that we look for and search for today. Nothing's changed. Nothing has really changed. The things that he looks to find fulfillment are the same places that we try. Verse 14 of this passage of chapter 1, it's really kind of the key verse of this chapter. He gives this conclusion. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. As you study the book of Ecclesiastes, this verse in chapter 1 is really the key to understanding the entire book. So let's talk about some key words that are here, okay? The first phrase I want you to think about is under the sun. That phrase is used 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is using the phrase to help us understand. This is telling you where he's searching and where he's looking. He's looking under the sun. What does that tell us? It tells that Solomon is asking, is there anything on earth? Is there anything in this world that can satisfy us? So what's he done there? He's removed heaven from the equation. This is not a spiritual search that Solomon is on. This phrase under the sun reveals that it's purely humanistic. His approach is there anything that can really satisfy us and fulfill us here? And he's looking under the sun, and that limits his search. The second word to think about is meaningless. It appears 35 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it really is just this overwhelming conclusion that Solomon reaches as he searches in all these different areas. He's picking up these little pieces and holding them into the light and saying, is this it? Is this what will satisfy me? And he's saying it's meaningless. And he's throwing it back into the ocean. One other phrase is chasing after the wind. That's used 9 times in the book, and it's really a phrase that captures how he feels on this search. He captures the frustration that he experiences as he's looking under the sun for what would bring meaning. He says it's chasing after the wind. And that sounds frustrating, right? Another word for that would be grasping wind. You ever tried to grasp wind? Some of you understand this frustration he's speaking of. I mean, if you're the type of person who is always losing the cell phone or the wallet or the keys or the remote, you're always looking for those things, you know how frustrating that can be. Solomon describes that as chasing after the wind. He expresses the frustration a little bit more poetically in verse 15. He says, "What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." And a couple of different pictures come to mind. One is that when you're searching for purpose in life under the sun, it's like trying to untangle something that can't be untangled. And the picture comes to mind of you just moved into a new house and you open that one of those boxes and you realize it's the power cord box. All those electrical cords that got stuffed into one box, that's the box you just open and you have to untangle that. It's just this long, drawn-out process of going nowhere. It just seems like you get one part of it untangled and it just gets worse. And you know, there's just frustration of trying to straighten out what cannot be untangled. He puts it this way. He says, "What is lacking cannot be counted." So the picture is you go to the store and you buy a puzzle. And you carefully lay out the pieces and you start to put the puzzle together and you get down to it and there's only one piece that's missing. That ever happened to you? But for you, it's the one piece that completes the whole. It's not the one on the corner. It's the one right in the center that ruins the whole picture. That piece is the key to seeing everything. That's what Solomon is saying life is like. When you're trying to find what you're missing under the sun, you're trying to find this peace that doesn't exist. Because there's nothing under the sun that's going to ultimately satisfy you. And it's all leading to nothing but frustration. I read this week that we're exposed every day to 4,000 commercial advertisements. Billboards, TV commercials, radio, everything. 4,000. All those commercials are designed to make you want something new, to make you want to search for something new, to make you think that you're missing something. Has anybody ever watched a commercial for a Snuggie and then said, "Wow, I really need a Snuggie"? Nobody ever, right? Sometimes if you have the time, go to a magazine rack at a store and pay attention to some of the articles that are on the front covers of the magazine. Because really, all those covers are doing is telling you there's something else to search for. It's promising you a secret to something that we think we're missing in our life. Just keep track of them next time. One article says how to radiate assurance and self-esteem. People read that and they think, well, maybe that's what I need. And they read it. And they don't feel good about it. There was another article that said 6 steps to happiness guaranteed. I read it. I didn't feel happier after reading it. Or another article, how to have rock hard abs. I read it. I read it twice. It didn't do it. One said, how to drive your man wild. I gave that one to my wife. So we'll see. All these things you come across in life are meant to point out to you you're missing something else. You're missing this. If you had this, maybe you would be fulfilled. The world knows that we're looking, so we're constantly being offered different choices. And we think, well, maybe that's it. Maybe just some quotes. And these aren't people that I usually quote in a sermon, but Nicolas Cage, the actor, who went through a fortune of $150 million. He said, "I wonder if there is a hole in the soul of my generation. We've inherited the American dream, but where do we take it? It's not just about cars and wealth. Are we paralyzed? Are we paralyzed by our dreams of consumption? Tom Brady, who nobody likes. Why do I have all these Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I think, gosh, it's got to be more than this. This can't be all that it's cracked up to be. Ted Turner, one of the richest, most successful men in America, described his life as a B-grade movie. You don't want to leave in the middle, but you don't really want to see it again. Brad Pitt said, I know all these things are supposed to seem important to us, the car, the condo, our version of success, and if you ask me, toss it all. We've got to find something else. Because I'm the guy who's got everything. I'm sitting in it, and I'm telling you, that's not it. So you hear the testimony of Solomon, and you hear other people's testimonies, and we think to ourselves, well, but that's not going to happen to me. That won't be true for me. It's going to be different, because I know that when I experience this, when I have this, whatever this is, then I'll be satisfied. And Solomon says that's just chasing after the wind. But there's something exciting about searching for something that you've kind of given up on finding, right? You thought, well, we're not going to find it. It's not going to happen. And then you find it, and there is just this thrilling moment in your life. People experience that moment every day, every week, in churches and homes everywhere. Every week, people find something here or somewhere else in Jesus Christ that they have given up on ever finding in their lives. The book of Ecclesiastes is written inductively. It's written so that the author doesn't reach his point until the very end. In fact, chapter 12, in the last two verses, after saying, this isn't it, this is nothing, it's meaningless, it's vanity, 12 chapters of it's a waste, he says, this is it. His conclusion is that the missing thing can't be found under the sun. He says, the whole duty, the whole purpose of man is God. It's what you were created for. It's what you were made for. And you may think that that missing piece will be found if you could just reach a certain level of success, if you could just live in a certain home or have a certain car or a job or a relationship with a certain person. If you could just experience this pleasure. And you may even think that you found it. You may think you found it in your marriage, or you found it in your work, or you may think you found it in some hobby. And I'm telling you, you haven't. That's not it. Solomon says, it's only found in God. On the surface, this message seems like a message for people who aren't Christians. People who have never discovered a life with Jesus Christ. But the truth is, there are a lot of us who are followers of Christ, and we kind of have a foot on each path. We're following Jesus, but we're also trying to chase these other dreams. And there's a part of us that still thinks, boy, if I could just acquire this, if I could just have this, if I could just experience this, then life would be great. Here's the invitation from Solomon. It's to say, you know what? I'm going to surrender to Christ. I'm going to put all of that on Him. I'm going to decide that He's the person that will only and truly bring fulfillment in my life. St. Augustine wrote a prayer 1,500 years ago. And it was the simplest prayer in the world. It was just a simple acknowledgement. He said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. It is only in Him. It is only in Jesus Christ that we find that missing piece in our lives. Solomon said, you won't find it under the sun. But 1 John verse 5 says, you will find it in the sun. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. What you're looking for, what you've been searching for, is found only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, sometimes we can get on a treadmill or a wheel in our cage and think that we're really going somewhere. And we lose focus of the most important thing in our lives. And that's you. We forget what you created us for. We forget what you died for. That you died to have a relationship with us, or to make it possible for us to have that relationship. There are things that get in the way of our lives every day of fully worshiping and welcoming you into our lives. And we would just ask that you would change our hearts in a way that helps us to focus on you and to put you first and to run everything through the filter of what does God want me to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.